is KJZZ's Sun Up. It is your daily news update from here in Phoenix on our state and region. Hi, I'm Phil Latzman. This podcast we present to you daily as a digest of the news events here in Arizona. It is Tuesday, the 18th of June, 2024. Thanks for listening. Hope you're staying cool and hydrated out there. Glad you're with us, and let's roll into it with the news. The state legislature's vote to adjourn Saturday means Arizona's near-total abortion ban will not go back into effect. From our politics desk, Wayne Shutsky reports.
The Arizona Supreme Court reinstated the territorial era ban in April, but a series of legal maneuvers by Attorney General Chris Mays delayed the ruling's effective date until September 26th. After the Supreme Court released its decision, the Arizona legislature voted to repeal the near-total ban. That repeal will go into effect 90 days after the legislature adjourned on June 15th, meaning the territorial era ban will come off the books on September 14th. At that point, a 15-week ban passed in 2022 will be the law of the land. Abortion rights groups are also gathering signatures to give voters the chance to enshrine the right to abortion in the state constitution. Wayne Shutsky, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Democratic Representative Oscar De Los Santos says ongoing disagreements over Arizona's school voucher program highlight the stakes of the November election. GOP lawmakers championed a universal expansion of vouchers in 2022 and again refused to cut back on voucher spending this year despite the program's ballooning price tag. Lawmakers instead approved a budget that makes cuts to public school funding designed to serve low-income students.
If you think that educators deserve a raise, if you think that we should be funding more nurses and counselors in schools, the only way we're going to get that is if we flip the legislature.
Republicans currently hold a one-vote majority in both the Arizona House and Senate. Well, since Arizona saw some of the harshest temperatures on record last summer, lawmakers, advocates, and researchers have been pushing the Federal Emergency Management Agency to classify extreme heat and wildfires as major disasters. As Kirsten Dorman reports, the expanded definitions would unlock funding that could prevent further deaths.
Jean Su is the Energy Justice Program Director and Senior Attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity.
Mostly where we see extreme heat effects are in people.
She says long-term solutions like strategically placed permanent cooling centers are most effective.
So those are common sense things that can actually decrease the medical risks and impacts of extreme heat and are totally like able to be funded by FEMA dollars.
Sue says workers and low-income communities are already disproportionately affected.
The longer we wait, the more people will suffer. And so we have to get on our game and actually deal with the climate emergency head on.
She says they're arguing that the law's definition of major disaster is broad enough for FEMA to move forward. Kirsten Dorman, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, it's been a little more than a week since President Biden issued an executive action that essentially closed the border to most asylum claims, despite U.S. laws that require that access. But some Southern Arizona business leaders see the move as a small but positive step in the right direction, as Elisa Resnick reports from her Fronteras desk in Tucson.
The Arizona-Sonora border is a bustling corridor that sees millions of dollars of trade and business every year. Luis Ramirez is a business advisor who works with border community leaders on binational issues. He sees the executive order as a good step that could alleviate some of the pressure on border officers who are processing migrants. But
both Border Patrol between the ports and customs at the ports, both are in need of additional, you know, staffing, technology, equipment. At the ports of entry, we're looking at infrastructure issues and the binational coordination.
Ramirez says those issues still remain with or without the new executive order. He says going forward, border communities and businesses want to make sure resources that make the ports of entry run smoothly, like adequate staffing, training, and updated hiring procedures, are prioritized. Elisa Resnick, KJZZ News, Tucson.
A multi-million dollar disagreement between Governor Katie Hobbs and Attorney General Chris Mays is scheduled to come to a head on Thursday. They are at odds over how the state should spend millions of dollars it obtained from pharmaceutical companies accused of perpetuating the opioid epidemic. Here's Wayne Shutsky again with details on that.
Hobbs and Republican lawmakers want to use $75 million from the opioid settlement fund to offset the state's budget deficit and pay for expenses within the State Department of Corrections. But Mays says that would violate the terms of the state's settlement with pharmaceutical companies. The budget passed by the legislature over the weekend directs Mays to deposit the $75 million with the Department of Corrections by Thursday. If she fails to do so, the budget calls in the Arizona Department of Administration to make that deposit anyway. Under state law, the Attorney General administers the opioid settlement account, but the law also gives the legislature the power to appropriate those funds. A spokesman for Mays says she is currently evaluating her legal options. Wayne Shutsky, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
The Army Corps of Engineers is funding a flood control project in Central Flagstaff that's intended to absorb runoff from a fire there 5 years ago. From Flagstaff, Michal Marisco reports.
The museum fire scorched nearly 2,000 acres in 2019 and took nearly a month to fully contain. The damage is still being felt, notably in neighborhoods downstream from monsoon rain runoff. The Killip School Detention Basin Inlet Project is just one of 10 underway to repair watersheds in the region. The inlet project creates a channel for floodwaters to move out of Flagstaff neighborhoods into a massive detention basin and save a nearby park. Ed Shank is Flagstaff Stormwater Section Director.
We'll be creating a natural swale, so kind of like a grass channel that will help push that water into the basins while keeping the park functional.
The Army Corps of Engineers has agreed to pay for the project using $1.5 million from its environmental infrastructure budget. Michel Marisco, KJZZ News, Flagstaff.
United in opposition to bathroom bans, anti-trans healthcare policy, and don't say gay bills, LGBTQ plus community members met in Phoenix this week to discuss what's at stake in November for their movement. Nick Carmia has more.
The Phoenix Parsons Youth Center hosted a discussion led by members of the LGBTQ community. Participants spoke of anti-LGBTQ legislation and expressed their support for getting pro-equality candidates into the Arizona legislature. Kelly Robinson is president of the Human Rights Campaign and emphasized how Arizona voters take pro-LGBTQ legislation seriously.
Here in Arizona, we've identified 1.4 million voters that prioritize LGBTQ plus issues when deciding who to vote for. We call them equality voters. If those people turn out, we win.
HRC declared a state of emergency last year after they identified nearly 600 anti-LGBTQ bills that were introduced nationwide. Robinson concluded the gathering by highlighting the importance of each attendee's story and turning the Arizona legislature blue. Nick Carmia, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
A group of mostly Democratic lawmakers are asking the Department of Homeland Security to take measures to protect so-called documented dreamers. Those are immigrants who came to the U.S. on their parents' visas and age out of that status once they turn 21. After that, they enter into a decades-long backlog waiting for green cards, opening them up to the possibility of deportation. And now Senator Kyrsten Sinema and Representative Raul Grijalva of Arizona are among more than three dozen congressional leaders calling for more reforms to protect them. In a letter to DHS officials, the lawmakers say documented dreamers are at risk of being forced to leave despite growing up here. They say DHS should institute protections like parole to allow them to stay in the U.S. and expand work permits. Well, over the weekend, First Lady Jill Biden stopped by a Phoenix senior center, part of the Seniors for Biden-Harris campaign. In Arizona, 78% of older adults say they worry about Social Security, according to a recent AARP survey. Kathy Ritchie talked to some of the attendees.
Mrs. Biden is on the campaign trail and stopping in swing states like Arizona to appeal to older adults who are more likely to vote in the upcoming presidential election. Mary Ruth Keough is one of them.
It's my sole source of income.
She's talking about Social Security.
And Medicare is my only health insurance. And I don't have any fears at all about them continuing.
Under another President Biden term. But even if former President Donald Trump wins,
I don't think that they would let Social Security go under. There's too many of us on it.
For younger Arizonans, the fate of Social Security is more uncertain. Christy Pease will be 62 in a few weeks.
I'll be getting my first Social Security check this year, so obviously interested in the viability of long-term Social Security.
Pease is taking her Social Security early. Full benefits are payable at 67. And while Pease hopes the program is viable by the time her 28-year-old daughter retires,
she figures probably won't be there when she's able.
The Social Security Board of Trustees projects that by 2035, there will only be enough funds to pay for 75% of scheduled benefits. Kathy Ritchie, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In sports, baseball, Diamondbacks had the Monday off as they hit the road to begin a series in Washington, D.C. against the Nationals this evening. The defending NL champs, who've won 5 of 7, continue to fight to get back to 500. They're now 2 games under that mark. They're 9 games behind the Dodgers in the division. In basketball, the Mercury have won 3 of 4 there, trying to get over 500 tonight as they host the New York Liberty in Phoenix. And that will do it for this edition of KJZZ Sun Up. Arizona's Morning News Podcast this Tuesday, June the 18th. I'm Phil Latzman. We'll be back again tomorrow. Have a good rest of your day, and thanks for listening.